I wonder sometimes what we've done to Thanksgiving. For many of us, in one way or another, it is all about the food. Where we'll eat, what we'll eat, who will or won't be at the table with us this year. I don't think we need to apologize for that, frankly. And I don't think it's just my eager stomach saying that. In a sense, it's always been about food. No matter how many parades or football games or marathon car rides we've built into it. The earliest known celebrations of Thanksgiving were, at their core, about gratitude for the harvest. No matter who exactly was there, or how well they got along, or how much bloodshed followed, and of course, these questions matter too. There seems to be agreement that a meal was involved, and that those involved knew enough about how the food got there to be grateful for it. The time it took, from sowing to reaping, the pruning and the weeding required to make things grow, all the animals and insects who could have made it their meal instead. Those who lived closer to the land than we do knew all too well what was under their control and what just wasn't. They couldn't make the sun shine or the rain fall. They knew that for all their careful planning, there are some things in life that we can only receive as a gift. And that the only proper response to gifts that we cannot possibly earn, be it sun or rain or growth or love, is to give thanks. We see that kind of hands-on knowledge about food and where it comes from in our scriptures today. Take Joel, for instance. The people here don't have any problem rejoicing that the fig trees and vines have given their full yield or that the rains have come. There were too many years when that didn't happen, when the locusts took their harvest instead, or the crops, for whatever reason, just didn't materialize. Perhaps it was their foolishness that affected the yield, anxious over pruning or over watering, maybe. That would be my problem, I suspect. I'd decide that more of this process really should be under my control, and that things would be better if I just took the reins. That might explain my black thumb. Or perhaps they weren't like me, and they did everything right. They chose the right soil and the right crop, the right amounts of sunshine and shade. They knew when to step in and when to let things alone. They took every reasonable precaution against predators, and it still was a rough year. It happens. The Lord's promise here that they would eat in plenty again was not just a nice thought. It was a lifeline, a gracious invitation to step back and take the long view. Our psalm, too, today invites us to zoom out a bit and expand the time frame we use when we consider God's promise-keeping record. There seems to be recognition of what God has done in the past, that the Lord has, in fact, done great things for the people. And now they need the Almighty to come through again. That shouldn't sound foreign to us. We too tend to come back to the well more than once. When we're in crisis, when we're sowing with tears, we have this tendency to focus on now. We can't remember the past and its entirety, the good as well as the bad, so we only focus on the parts that confirm our worst fears. And we can't yet see the future, so we try to rush a process of growth that by its very nature cannot be rushed. The psalmist asks us to consider the season we're in. We might be in a time of sowing when we'd prefer to be reaping. We might be carrying our seed when we'd rather be shouldering our sheaves. That doesn't mean the harvest won't come. In fact, we're promised that it will. It just might not on our preferred schedule. As someone who's trying to make the path from farm to table a little shorter these days, I know more than I used to about growing seasons. And the truth is, we don't all grow at the same rate or on the same cycle. Maybe our summer is another's winter. Maybe our fall is another's spring. Or perhaps we've been transplanted or otherwise uprooted by life as of late. A new job or move, a recent loss, and it'll take a few years before we truly see a harvest. Figs, grapevines, after transplanting, they take a good 3 to 5 years before we see a harvest, no matter how well they've been tended to in the meantime. And on the other side, what we're called to do in our times of harvest is not only rejoice that it's come, but set some of our own bounty aside for those whose seeds haven't yet come in, and recognize that the next time around, the one in need might be us. That's part of how Jesus gets away with his call not to worry, I think. He knows his audience. He's no dilettante talking to folks who've never known need. He knows that they know that food does not just magically appear. Most of the time, it requires not only effort, but patience to let things grow at their own rate and time. He's not saying that we can take food for granted. He's saying that there are some things that are more important than what exactly is on the table, namely the kingdom of God. Amen. And that if we seek that kingdom where everyone has what they need, we'll find that we have what we need too, not just food, but companionship and purpose. By sharing our bounty, we make worry less of a temptation and we have more time to truly enjoy who and what are before us. And in the meantime, Jesus invites us to consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field who manage to thrive quite apart from our efforts. We have work to do, yes, but it's not all on us. There are some gifts, some expressions of beauty or growth or love that cannot be earned. And when we encounter them, the proper response is to give thanks. So, any last words of good news before we head off to our respective tables? As we consider where we are now from where we were last Thanksgiving, perhaps it is our time to reap, and the harvest is strong. If so, then thanks be to God. Or perhaps it's not. Perhaps it's been a rough year, and we're not so sure what we have to show to our table mates this time around. If so, step back. Take the long view. It might not be your time to reap. You might be in a different season, on a different cycle, and that's okay. God can work with that too. Consider what seeds you might be carrying and what might just take root if you took the time to plant them. And then come to this table where the only requirements are empty hands and an open heart. Take some bread and wine for the journey, however short or long that journey may be, and be thankful. Amen.